But this morning we'll be in Romans 10, 13 through 17. Some of you may remember the story, but on June 23rd, 2018, a group of 12 teenage boys in Thailand left soccer practice on their bikes, and they went to go celebrate, have fun, eat some food together in a cave complex. Now, we don't do this. There are no caves around here, so it's kind of hard for us to imagine, but that's what they did. And so what was meant initially to be a fun and adventurous time together as a team quickly turned dangerous when a sudden heavy rainfall led to them being trapped deep underground in this cave complex. Not only were they trapped, but the rising water in the cave forced them to actually retreat deeper into the cave. And there they were, trapped. And as you can imagine, the parents and families of these kids instantly began panicking when they couldn't get a hold of them, wondering where their boys were. And for 10 days, the whole world wondered where these boys were. And for 10 days, these boys were in this cave system with little food, little water, and absolutely no communication with the outside world. Until finally, on day 10, two British divers discovered the boys in the cave. Heaven and earth had been in motion in the outside world trying to find these boys. Hundreds of people across the world, this whole rescue operation was put in place trying to find them. And then finally on day 10, these two British divers discovered them in the cave. And I found this out. If you look online and do a little digging on Wikipedia, you can actually find the video the British divers took when they first discover these boys in this cave system. And it's kind of choppy, as you can imagine. It's kind of hard to hear. But at one point in this conversation, you see the boys up on this little cliff in this cave, and they ask some question, and then the diver delivers this message to them. He says, "More are coming. Many more are coming." And the message was so simple. Right, more are coming. People will come to rescue you. It was simple. It was urgent. Right, we know you've been here 10 days. You have little food and water. We're doing everything we can. More are coming with urgency. We will get you out of here. And to those boys, that message was beautiful. That was all they needed to hear. Yes, the world knows we are in here. We are not going to die lost, buried in the ground in this cave. This morning, as we look at Romans 10, 13 through 17, we will see that like those British divers, we have been made couriers or messengers of the most important message in human history, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And just like the message those divers could deliver to those boys that many more are coming, the message we have to deliver is simple, it's urgent, and it's beautiful. Let's read this text together before we pray. "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have never heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news, for Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our message?' Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ." Let's pray together. Well, Jesus, we just sang your praise as we declared your name. And we know the only reason we do that is because we have heard and believed this simple, urgent, and beautiful message that you have come to rescue us. And we pray that as we hear your word this morning, you would turn us now into messengers of this same gospel. We pray this in your name. Amen. So the 3 points, as you may have guessed, are the simple message, the urgent message, and the beautiful message. Right, you see right away in verse 13, the summary of this message. This is the simple message. Right? You can't summarize the gospel any more simply than Paul does in Romans 10:13 here. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Right? Everyone, this message is for all without distinction. This is not the white man's religion. This is not the black man's religion. This is for no special people group. This is the message for all the nations. Okay, it is for everyone. It's everyone who calls. Right? That's it. There's no ladder to climb. There are no hoops to jump through. No works to be done. You simply call. Call out to whom or to what? He says the name of the Lord. And he's quoting here Joel 2:32, the prophet Joel in the Old Testament. And the prophet Joel wrote this. He wrote this in reference, of course, to Yahweh, which we just sang about. Yahweh, the God who revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush. I will be who I will be. And so Joel writes this about Yahweh. He says, everyone who calls upon the name of Yahweh will be saved. And now the Apostle Paul picks this up here, and he applies this to Jesus. First of all, showing us that, yes, Jesus is fully God. He is Yahweh in the flesh. And he says, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, that is the name of Jesus Christ, will be saved. This message is for all, and it's simple. Whoever calls upon the name of Jesus in faith will be saved. All right, this message is simple enough that the youngest and the most unlearned can understand it. And yet this is also, this gospel message, the most complex, the deepest, the richest, the most intellectually stimulating message there is in the entire world. Penal substitutionary atonement, imputation, predestination, justification, sanctification, glorification, adoption, regeneration, effectual calling, election, hypostatic union. These are just a few of the many theological concepts contained within this gospel message. Now, some of you are sitting there thinking, I have no idea what most of those words mean. And that's okay. We can learn those. We should learn those. We should drink deeply of this rich, complex gospel message. We should learn these theological concepts so that we can grow deeper in our knowledge of the gospel. The gospel is so deep and so rich that songs are still being written about it. We will never plumb the depths of the gospel message. We will always be, for eternity on ending, learning the depths of the gospel, yet never arriving at a full comprehension of it. And that is part of its beauty, the complexity, the richness, the depth, the intellectual aspect of it. Yet that's only one aspect of its beauty. Because part of the beauty of it is also its simplicity. Now, many of you, or some of you, may not know what some or even all of those words I just mentioned are. You may not be able to articulate with theological precision what each of those words means. And yet, you understand the simple gospel message. It's Romans 10:13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that's part of the beauty. It's so complex that the most intelligent, the most learned theologians can write massive textbooks about it and yet still only be scratching the surface. And yet even the smallest child can understand. Yet a 12-year-old can stand before us and proclaim a clear articulation of the simple gospel message and then be baptized. Right, this message we have is simple, and that is part of its beauty. The Thai cave rescue was incredibly complex. There were so many details, so many logistical details that had to be worked out for this rescue to take place. Helicopters and divers and medical personnel and camps and all the supplies and food and water and all of these things. And that's all part of the beauty of it. But at the same time, there was also a beauty in the simplicity of it. What did those boys need to understand in order to be rescued from that cave? Very little. They didn't need to know all the details. All they needed to know was this: these divers are here to rescue us. I do what they say, and I will be saved. And so it is with the gospel message. Even with all of its complexities, all of its richness, all of its depth, the message is at its core very simple. You are lost in your sin. Jesus came to rescue you. Turn from your sin, trust in him by faith, and you will be saved. He is your only hope. And so this week at VBS, let us not lose sight of that. We proclaim a simple message as 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds and 7-year-olds and 12-year-olds come to us and to have fun and play these games. Let us not forget that we are ultimately preaching to them a very simple message. Jesus came to rescue you. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. The gospel message is simple. And it's that simplicity then that gives rise to its urgency. Right, look at verses 14 and 15. So verse 13, he summarizes this gospel message in all its simplicity. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, now in verses 14 through 15, he walks through the logical implications of that for us as Christians. So the gospel is simple. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And the first question Paul asks, verse 14, is how can they call on the one they have not believed in? And he goes on, how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? See, without the proclamation of the gospel, there will be no salvation. If the divers never actually got to the boys in the cave, there was no salvation for them. There was no rescue. And so Paul here now is turning his attention from the lost to those who have been found, telling us, this is on you. The message has been put upon your shoulders. You are the messengers of the gospel message. The word gospel itself literally means good news. And so if you can imagine the world hundreds of years before the internet, before social media, before you got your news from X instantly, before there was cable news, before there was radio, before there was even telephone, even before the printing press was a thing, how did people get their news? Just imagine we live in the town of Wauseon and we're just isolated here. How would we get our news before any kind of technology was invented? Well, somebody would likely come on horseback, riding into town, declaring, news, I have news, a message from whomever. And he would come into town, and people would gather around, and they would hear, what is the news? And then he would open his mouth, and he would declare the news. Now, that's what the word gospel means. It is good news. And the implication then is that it's a message, it's news, so it's spread through messengers. Through people opening their mouths, going by foot, by airplane, by whatever means possible to the lost, declaring the news that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is the King of Kings, that every knee will bow to King Jesus, that by faith, everyone who turns to him will be saved. This is the good news we proclaim. That message has now been entrusted to us as messengers. There's an old saying that goes something like this. You may have heard it before. Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Now, I kind of get what they're saying. You can appreciate the heart behind it. Because what that saying is getting at is that we should be living lives that are always pointing to the gospel. right? That all of our lives should be proclaiming the lordship of Jesus. And we say, yes, amen. That is commendable and good. We agree with that wholeheartedly. But it's that last part that falls woefully short. If necessary, use words. See, that implies that gospel proclamation is possible without words. And Paul here says, no, that's not it. Words are necessary. If there is no gospel proclamation through words, there is no evangelism. There is no gospel proclamation. Each of you right now, think about if you're trusting in Jesus, when you came to know Jesus, and how you came to know Jesus. Whether that was sitting in church, at a Sunday school class, at a VBS, your parents, your grandparents, a Christian camp, some random guy on the street. Do you know what the common denominator is in every single one of those instances? A person had to open his or her mouth and tell you in words the gospel message. Now, perhaps you were saved reading something, reading the Bible, but still, it's words. Not a single soul in the history of the world has ever been saved simply by observing someone live his or her life. The gospel, this message, this simple message of salvation is spread through messengers, opening their mouths and declaring that message. Which means that there is an urgency to it. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Praise God. And yet, how can they call on the one in whom they have never heard? And how will they hear unless God's people open their mouths and tell of his name? Many rescue options were discussed for those boys in that cave in Thailand. Would they drill holes down and try to extract them out? Would they just leave them there and bring them food and water until the rains would go down and they could get them out easier? All these options were discussed. But in the end, only one plan was deemed feasible. The divers would go in, they would find these boys, they would bring extra dive equipment. They would get the boys ready and the dive equipment. They would sedate them, and then they would pull the boys out themselves of the cave. That was the plan. That was plan A, and there was no plan B. What was the key to the plan? The divers. They were the messengers of salvation. The feet of those who bring good news. Without the divers willing to go to great lengths to bring salvation to the boys, there was no salvation. Brothers and sisters, if you are in Christ, you have been made a messenger of the gospel. We are the link between salvation and between the lost. Without us going to great lengths to go and proclaim the gospel to the lost, there is no salvation. There is no calling upon the name of the Lord for those who are lost that they may be saved. We are plan A, and there is no plan B. God has entrusted this simple gospel message to his people, to us, his messengers. And what a joy, what a privilege that is. We who once were lost and dead in sin have now been made alive with Christ and raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places. And now he's entrusted to us that very message. You go and tell likewise that all may know the name of King Jesus. And so for us who are serving at VBS this week, we cannot lose sight of this. Ultimately, that is the reason we are here. Whether you are serving us up snacks on a plate, whether you are setting up cones for a game, or helping a kid use a glue stick and put glue on a paper. Our ultimate hope is to point them to Jesus. We are here as messengers of the gospel. And even beyond VBS, that is why we are still here on this earth as messengers of the gospel, at home, at your workplace. We are plan A, and there is no plan B. This gospel message is simple. This gospel message is urgent. And lastly, this gospel message is beautiful. My kids are growing up in the Amazon age, and so they've learned to be excited when they see the Amazon van pull up in front of our house. And then you know what comes next? The van pulls up, the door opens, the driver hops out, runs to the back, grabs his packages, runs up to the front porch, and sets them there. And to my boys, those feet of that Amazon driver are beautiful. And they fight over who can be first to the door to open the package to see that it's something really boring that we've ordered. How beautiful were the feet of those divers, those rescue divers, to those boys stranded in a cave. 10 days with very little food and water, and all of a sudden another human shows up and announces, more are coming. Many more are coming. I can only assume there was nothing more beautiful to those boys than those messengers showing up with that good news. Feet that carry a beautiful message are beautiful. And the gospel is the most beautiful message there is. And therefore, there are no feet more beautiful than those that carry the good news of the gospel to the ends of the earth. As we've said, the gospel is so complex and so beautiful in its richness and in its depth and in its intricacy, and yet it is the simplest and most urgent message there is on earth. And we have been privileged to be its carriers. How beautiful are our feet when we carry that good news to those who need it most. But the catch is, we may not always be received as beautiful. We may take the gospel to the ends of the earth. We may be spit upon. We may be chastised. We may be thrown in prison. We may be put to death. Because the message is beautiful, but at the same time, it is offensive. Why is it offensive? Well, what does the gospel message say to every single person who's ever lived? It says, you were born in sin, and now you're a lost and hopeless sinner because you've rebelled against the God of the universe, who created all things, who knit you together in your mother's womb. And because you've rebelled against this just, holy, and righteous God, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of judgment, and you are destined for an eternity in hell, because one sin against an eternally righteous God is worthy of eternal punishment. That's offensive. But that's not all. It gets more offensive. So not only does the gospel start by saying that we are all lost and hopeless sinners, but then it goes on to say we can't even do anything about it. This is what Lucas touched on in his testimony before his baptism. What he came to realize was that he couldn't do anything. He had no strength in his own flesh to render himself acceptable before God. The gospel says even our righteous deeds are but filthy rags before our holy and righteous God. That is offensive to the human heart because we are all in our sinful hearts, prideful and self-righteous. The one thing we don't want to hear is that we are all lost and hopeless sinners destined for hell and we can't do anything about it ourselves. This is offensive, but we must preach it. Why? Because the bad news always leads to the good news. There is no good news if there is no bad news. And the worse the bad news is, the better the good news is when it comes. And so we must preach the bad news. The gospel is not, God just loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Yes and amen, that's true. And yet it leaves out the bad news that we are lost sinners. And therefore it leaves out and minimizes the good news that Jesus came to die for us and rescue us. And so we must preach the bad news first. You are a lost and hopeless sinner who deserves the righteous eternal wrath of God. And that's when the good news comes in. The good news that Paul said in verse 13. What must we do then to be saved? We can't do anything ourselves. What's the solution? How can we be rescued? And we say, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. It's the thief on the cross crying out as he's being crucified next to Jesus. And Jesus to telling him, I tell you, this day you will be with me in paradise. That is the gospel message we proclaim. It is simple, it is urgent, and it is beautiful in its simplicity, in its urgency, and in its saving power. It is just what the lost world needs at just the right time. And so for us, this week at VBS, may we live to proclaim this simple, urgent, and beautiful message. And for all of us, may we live to proclaim this message at home, at work, at the grocery store, and in every aspect of our lives. I want to say one final thing in closing here. Our message is simple, it's urgent, it's beautiful, and we are its messengers. May the lives of the gospel messengers be as beautiful as the message is itself. Paul says here, quoting from Isaiah 52, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Well, brothers and sisters, that will not be said of us if our lives do not match up with the gospel we proclaim. That will not be said if our lives are not beautiful as well. If our love is not genuine and sacrificial, if our conduct is not above reproach, if we are hypocritical, if we are selfish, they will not see the messengers of the gospel as beautiful. And they will not hear the beautiful message. And so if we are to be effective in sharing this simple, urgent, and beautiful message, we must make sure that our lives match up with this beautiful message. May we be resolved to put no stumbling block in front of the gospel by our behavior, by our speech, by what we post online. Our lives have the opportunity to be the greatest display of the gospel's truthfulness and of its power. People can argue with the facts. They can argue against the truths of the gospel. What they can't argue with is your transformed life. What they can't argue with is you saying, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Before I knew Jesus, my life was this, and he has so utterly transformed my life. That makes the gospel message plausible. And may our lives make the gospel plausible to everyone to whom we open our mouths this week at VBS and always.